What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, July 2nd, 2018. I'm Tim Geddes, joined by Rooster Teeth's John Reisinger.
Hello, hello. I'm here.
It's just me. But,
it's
a studio audience.
It's kind of sadder when one person claps.
Thanks, Kev. I appreciate it. How are you doing? You're here for a kind of funny prom.
I came for prom.
How was it?
I did the prom. It was very fun. I had a really good time, and you made my dreams come true by letting me finally go to prom.
Yes. Yeah. So you didn't go to your prom?
No, I had a terrible high school experience that culminated in me not doing anything at the end of my senior year. But it gets better because I'm happy now.
Yes, definitely.
And I'm here with you. So
thank
I mean,
you.
That's,
that, thank
that's,
you for joining. I was a little worried because Greg's out in Montreal all week, so that means I have to host this, and I had to find different guests for a lot of things.
Yeah,
and so today was just going to be Andy, and Andy hates doing the show because he's a punk ass bitch. So I was like, oh man, this is
why
be
would
difficult.
He hate doing the show?
And then because he doesn't like having to actually have opinions. Like he wants to just be a goofball, which I appreciate.
According to the internet, I think I might have too many opinions. So you might have gotten the right person.
We got the right person. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We go through all the biggest video game news stories of the day. You can get this watching it live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames or as a video on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or as a podcast on podcast services around the globe. Just type in Kinda Funny Games Daily. Thank you all for your support. If you want to support us even more, you can go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames. Throw us a dollar. We would really appreciate it. If you want to be part of the show, go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Let us know what we get wrong during the show, and we'll correct it at the end of this episode. A little housekeeping. Greg Miller, like I said a second ago, is in Montreal all week, taking a vacation. But of course, Greg Miller can't do anything without having a meet and greet. So there was a meet and greet on July 5th from 5 to 8 at Le Terminal in Montreal. I'm sure if you're in Montreal, you know what that means.
French
I
for
do not. The Terminal.
The Terminal.
But yeah, if you want more information on that, you can go to Greg Miller's Twitter. He has a little fun image that Andy made. You can get all the details of. And this episode is sponsored by Brooklinen, but we will get to that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Kevin.
I can't even.
Do it. Kevin lost his voice at Kinda Funny Prom, so we're about to get the most broke-ass fucking bullshit. It's time for some news, ladies and gentlemen. We got five news stories today.
Okay.
Okay, here's the...
You are a broken human being, my friend. Oh, I love it. First news story of the day. This is from GameStar via IGN. GameStar is a German website, so IGN translated it and kind of made it make sense to me because I don't speak German. Fallout 76 won't have crossplay.
Are people upset about that?
Yeah, people are definitely upset.
Why are people so? I guess
because it's the hot topic thing, John. Everybody has to be mad, and the crossplay issues with PlayStation. We're getting, just so everybody knows, there's a lot of crossplay talk today. There's a lot of Sony and Xbox, like what's going to happen in their future talk. So strap in. Fallout 76 won't feature crossplay because of Sony. Todd Howard confirmed in an interview with GameStar. Howard was asked why the upcoming online Fallout title won't feature cross-platform play, and it's because Sony is not as helpful as everyone would like. We would love to have that, but currently this isn't possible, Howard said. Currently, crossplay between PS4 and other consoles, most notably Switch and Xbox, isn't possible. If you had created your Epic account on PS4 to play Fortnite, the account can't be used on other consoles. Sony executive Sean Layden revealed that company is looking at a lot of possibilities to address the issue and is confident it will reach a, quote, solution which will be understood and accepted by our gaming community. That is such a PR statement.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, former Sony Online Entertainment head John Smedley recently said Sony won't allow crossplay because it doesn't like the idea of a customer buying something on an Xbox and being used on a PlayStation.
I see things from like the audience perspective or the gamer's perspective, and how that like is ideally something you would like, and it feels like that's just the utopian route for us all to go. But I'm someone who understands that. So games, they're a business, and you got to run your stuff like a business. And I don't see for PlayStation what they gain from doing the crossplay. I can't. No one can explain to me what they should get other than like. That's what they should do just to play nice everybody else, but they A, don't have to. They like any game. They don't need to do CrossFit because you buy their games and you buy their consoles, and that's where they get their money. As well as like any in-game purchases, like if someone wanted to buy in-game purchases somewhere else and then just come to PlayStation, then what's PlayStation's like, "Well, we didn't get any of your money." So like I get you're upset about it, but someone give me a reason why they should.
Yeah. I feel like we're at a place right now where the everyone is entitled and everyone feels like that what the thing that they want, they should get.
Yes.
And you're right about the business stuff, but you're also right about the fact that like it, in a perfect world, it would be possible. Mm-hmm. And I feel like similar to season passes a couple years ago where it was like, everyone was like, oh, fuck DLC. This is the worst thing ever. Mm-hmm. Fuck season passes. Fuck loot crates. Fuck microtransactions. It's always something. So right now, crossplay and specifically Sony not allowing crossplay is the like topic of the moment. I don't feel like the Fallout 76 thing would have been a headline if it weren't for this Fortnite fiasco going on right now, because I don't think there was people clamoring for, I mean, people didn't know about Fallout 76, but games like that, like not having crossplay before, not a big deal.
Yeah.
But I do think that we're at an interesting turning point right now in for the whole gaming industry of maybe not every game needs crossplay, and maybe not they shouldn't play nice with every game, but there are certain games I feel benefit from it. Games like Minecraft or Fortnite, I can see kind of the argument that you're looking for, Fortnite being a perfect example of, if I'm sure there's technical reasons that we've talked this to death already, but if people are playing with their Epic account tied across all the systems and all of it goes through, people are still going to be playing on PlayStation. Mm-hmm. It's just if they also are playing on Switch when they go on the go, but then they take it back to PlayStation, that is benefiting PlayStation, and it's benefiting everybody, but it is still benefiting PlayStation. For with Fallout, stuff like this, I feel like that it's a different type of game, especially because it's not free to play. Mm-hmm. So it's like there is the actual upfront purchasing. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel if you look at Fortnite more as a platform that someone's invested in, then the more people that you're getting in, that's just more people that could be buying the loot and whatever the fuck it is on PlayStation services.
Right. But with like the way that, you know, obviously we still don't have every bit of detail about Fallout 76, still very limited, but it very much feels like, I mean, ever since GTA 5 came out the way it did and has built what it's done and has created this just money-making machine for Rockstar and that kind of thing, I think everyone, similar to like how everyone looks at MCU and goes, how do we make an MCU for ourselves? Everyone's looked at GTA 5 and gone, how do we make a GTA 5 for ourselves? And Fallout 76, a lot of the same terminology feels like GTA 5 and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So if I was PlayStation and I'm looking at how much the potential of Fallout 76 having so much replayability and people staying on my platform and people buying, you know, in-game money and that kind of thing or that kind of thing, I want them to just stay on my platform. Mm-hmm. And so I totally agree. Like, there's, you know, some games like Minecraft is such a good example of like, why not let people have crossplays? Because there's nothing really to gain beyond buying the game for them to garner anything from their audience to be playing Minecraft on PlayStation or Minecraft on Switch, that kind of thing. But this, I think everyone goes as, this has a lot of potential for us to have revenue and a lot of potential for us to build on. And so also we're winning the console wars right now. So we don't need to play with you guys, that kind of thing. But I think PlayStation should find somewhere where they can start doing a lot more of this crossplay kind of stuff.
I think the most important thing from this news story is that Todd Howard is being as straight up like fuck you to Sony as he is.
Yeah.
And it's not like a fuck you as in a if you don't fix this, we're leaving you type way. It's a fuck you in a hey, yeah, this is a problem and we'd love to have it because you, like you said earlier, gaming is a business, and to Bethesda, it's a business.
Yeah.
So they want crossplay. They want all of this. So I feel like the, you know, with people in the positions they are, like Todd Howard coming forth and saying, this is my stance on this.
Yeah.
That's really important. And I'm sure that's going to sway a lot of decisions over at Sony. And me and Greg have been talking a lot about the fact that we really believe this Fortnite thing will be figured out on Sony and that they will kind of at some point come up with a solution.
Probably.
But what does that mean for something like Fallout? I don't know. I don't think that we're going to see this generation, at least, the entire dam getting broken down and just crossplay everywhere. But yeah, things like Minecraft, things like Fortnite, I feel there is money on the table for Sony where if people play Minecraft on PC and it's crossplay, they'll be like, you know, I'm going to keep playing. I'm going to buy it here as well.
Right.
And that's just an audience of people that might not have done that.
But I think games like, you know, say Minecraft or any of those other games are games that they spice up like the playability of your console. Like, oh yeah, you can play Minecraft also on PlayStation. Whereas Fallout 76 and these big AAA games are like console buying games where people go, I want to be able to play this game on this console, so I will buy this console to play it that way. Or I mean, it's not exclusive, but I mean, that's where so much of their money comes from, is their hardware purchases. And so I do think it's great that someone big like Todd Howard, I don't think anybody from Epic Games can really like throw around a lot of clout at this point, anything like that. But Todd Howard is like,
but see, Epic's in a different place where they have Fortnite.
Right.
They don't need a person, they have the brand, right?
Right, but they're also community. Still new to the world, to this like to this the spotlight.
That level of
yeah.
fame and insanity. Going
Whereas Todd base. Howard and Bethesda as a whole is just a monster in itself that can say things like that without, you know, worrying about like, oh, people are going to stop mm-hmm. playing or PlayStation will stop, you know, letting us play the Bethesda games on there. It's like, no, PlayStation is going to want Bethesda to be on their console.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Let us know in the comments below if you give a fuck about a game like Fallout 76 being crossplay, because of course adding crossplay also adds a lot of issues and a lot more patching necessary mm-hmm. and a lot more like communication between systems and making sure that it's not too optimized one way or the other, you know. So let us know if that matters to you at all. Second news story today, more Bethesda. Starfield could still appear on current gen consoles. This also comes from IGN. In an interview with Eurogamer, Bethesda Softworks director and executive producer Todd Howard offered a further comment about what platforms to expect the sci-fi adventure announced during Bethesda's E3 press briefing, as the concept of next generation was expressed during the briefing. Quote, what systems we put it out on, what's the hardware requirements, it's still to be determined. We're pushing it, we're thinking very, very far in the future, so we're building something that will handle next generation hardware. That's what we're building on right now, that's where our mind is, but that doesn't mean it wouldn't exist on the current systems as well. Though the latter half of this quote seems to hint at the possibility of Starfield coming to the Xbox One and the PS4, it should be taken with a grain of salt. As he says, Bethesda is still trying to nail down hardware requirements, and with the game so far out, no window for release date has been announced, those requirements can shift in development.
Starfield. It's so this like makes me think about like these conversations happen because of how E3 has turned into, or just what it's been for a while, which is talking about games that are so far away. Like everyone has to be so like there's no real information anybody can give about these games, so they don't want to like alienate certain hardware or even like give inclination of another hardware coming up, so they have to be this way of like, It might be on this console.
Yeah.
It might be on the next one. We don't know. It's too far out. I mean, it was like at E3 at the No, we got to do a lot of coverage as well, and we had one of the developers from Ghost of Tsushima on, and that trailer was amazing, mm-hmm. and that was a fantastically looking game, and so excited about it, and it's like it totally took the wind out of my sails when the conversation then turns into like, oh, so when can we imagine this? And they're like, we don't know. We have don't even have a year we could throw out there.
Ghost of Tsushima, isn't that 2019?
Did someone say 2019?
Yeah, I'm pretty.
Because the developer said we don't know.
There's a perfect kind of funny.com/ you're wrong. Let me know. I'm pretty sure 2019 is is the date for the game.
That would be great. But then we still got that's just one example. But there's still remember when they came out with the logo for Metroid Prime year ago, and they didn't even mention it this year. Like, when is that game going to be coming out?
See, my argument against that though is I feel that with Nintendo, Bethesda, and PlayStation as examples that we're talking about here, I feel like if it was just those games that they were talking about, then there'd be a problem. But we do have this lineup of, with the Switch, we didn't see Metroid. We know Metroid's coming, but they did give us our July, August, September, October, November, December.
Right. Game totally lineup. Did.
PlayStation, it's like, all right, Ghost of Tsushima, that's something later. Death Stranding, LOL.
Yeah.
But everything else, it's like, we understand, we know Spider-Man, we know Days Gone now, we know, they kind of have their like, bah, 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 going up all the way.
But there was so limited information on Starfield.
Well, but Bethesda, there was limited information. There was limited information on Elder Scrolls 6 as well. But we do know
there's a graphic.
But we do know about all the different DLC packs coming out. We know about the Wolfenstein expansion and about Prey and about Rage and the Prey DLC. It's just like I appreciate that there is this kind of like it's not just the keep dreaming. The things that you want are going to come eventually. There is all right, but for now, there's all this, but also be excited for the future,
Right. But I'm there with you where I get excited about these, Beyond Good and Evil was another one that I was like, that trailer was amazing. I'm ready to just play this game.
Are we ever going to actually play the game?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows?
But yeah, it does look great.
It was it was announced so long ago, and then we finally get something, and it's a trailer, and still there's like, did they announce a date for that?
Oh, they didn't. No. Beyond Good and Evil is.
And so, like, same thing, like, you know, Starfield gets me excited. It's like Bethesda. It's like, oh man, Bethesda is like my game dev, you know, people that I love. And like everything they put out, I play. Mm-hmm. I love it. And it's like the idea of like these guys doing a sci-fi series that's that, you know, a sci-fi genre kind of thing. I'm like, yes. And then beyond that, it's like, well, we don't know when it's going to come out. We don't really have a lot of details to tell about it, but we're just teasing you. And I'm like, stop it.
In terms of the potential cross-platform, or not cross-platform, but current cross-gen availability of this game, like we already kind of hit this during the last generation shift from like PS3 into PS4.
Yeah.
But I feel like this generation for sure, especially with the blending of the PS4 Pro and Xbox One X into whatever the next systems are, with the addition of the idea of cloud gaming and how that doesn't seem that far in the future, mm-hmm. based on a lot of the comments we heard from Microsoft, from Ubisoft, even this year at E3. Looking back at like Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom mm-hmm. Pain, right? That game came out, like there was a lot of earlier games, and there always is every generation where it's like Call of Duty comes out on both systems and you see the comparisons and you're like, Call of Duty came out on this gen.
Yeah.
Last gen had a piece of shit that
they
put out.
They ported it.
But then you see things like Metal Gear Solid 5 where it's like, I am blown away at the quality of Metal Gear Solid 5 looking as good as it does, playing as well as it did on both generations. Obviously it looked better on PS4 and Xbox One, but that was not a lesser game on the last generation. And I mean, I know this is totally different, but Breath of the Wild being on Switch and Wii U, and like that's probably not even a good example to bring up because of the how similar the Wii U and Switch are power-wise. But I do think that Starfield could be out on these current gen. I don't think this is just lip service. I think there's a real possibility.
I see at this point, like if you're really that concerned about this game not coming out on this gen, you got time to like start saving your pennies, mm-hmm. you know, start looking to get the next console and that kind of thing. But at the same time, I don't think we're years away still from anything of a next gen console. And so I'm, you know, I don't think this is too much of a concern, but if Todd Howard has to, you know, address it, maybe it is that big of a deal to a lot of people.
Next news story. This is a weird one. A GTA 6 hoax is going on. People haven't actually confirmed whether or not this shit is happening, but doing a little bit of digging, this seems like it is fake as fuck. This comes from Kotaku. Many Grand Theft Auto Online players got a surprise when they started the game on July 1st. Some players received a message purporting to be from Rockstar Games advertising GTA 6 was launching in 2019 and could be pre-ordered now. Unfortunately for those excited for a new GTA, the messages are fakes, likely being sent by players hacking the game. GTA Online players shared screenshots of the messages on Twitter. GTA 6 coming in 2019, one player tweeted excitedly. Other players received messages advertising pre-orders. Some players believe the messages were real, which is understandable considering they popped up in-game as an official notification from Rockstar. Other players were just confused as to whether it was real or a hoax. The messages are only appearing on PC, 360, and PS3. These platforms have been modded and hacked by players for years now, and it seems these in-game notifications are just another new exploit. The writer Kotaku says, I can't find any verifiable evidence that these messages are appearing on PS4, Xbox One, platforms that have yet to be fully cracked by hackers. Kotaku reached out to Rockstar, but as of writing, has not heard back.
That's impressive.
Like, that's some fucked up, man.
Oh, people are
so shitty. God damn it.
It's totally a shitty move to make. It's impressive though that it was in game.
That's the thing, man. It's like, dude, fake news is just like sometimes it gets too fucking real. And this is one of those times where it's like, if I was playing and an official Rockstar message came up, I'd be like, of course, the first thing I'd do is go to Reset Era and see what people are saying. But like, that is as legit as you can get, is getting a in-game message from Rockstar saying something. But
that's pretty good. I mean, we all know that like there ain't no way it's coming.
No way. GTA 6.
They have three words they're thinking of: Red Dead Redemption. That's all they're thinking of.
Red Dead Redemption and also GTA 6, like GTA on, like, I don't know. Is there going to be a GTA 6 or is it going to be GTA Online 2 or just like a GTA, the platform as the next thing?
I mean,
and no matter what, when will that be? Earliest 20,
2020 something is the earliest. I mean, I think a GTA 5 and GTA Online at this point are like World of Warcraft levels, which is you don't have to make another full console. You just keep coming out with expansions and extra little things, and that's all GTA's been doing. It's like, well, we just come out with new vehicles and jetpacks and new game styles and that kind of thing, and they keep getting, you know, those shark cards being bought and everything like that. And so Red Dead Redemption is their focus, obviously, so that's going to be their next big thing. I don't think they have, and who knows what they're going to do with that as a whole project itself. So I can't even imagine them even thinking about beyond like initial concepts for GTA 6.
I mean, I'm sure they're beyond initial concepts. I'm sure there's a game somewhere.
Yeah.
What that is and how far along, I don't know. I'm very interested to see Red Dead come out and what it actually ends up looking like, not just this year, but end of next year, like a year from release. What does its online structure look like? Is it going to have the same type of appeal and lasting money making capabilities that GTA 5 has and GTA Online specifically has? And what does that mean for the single player aspect of Red Dead? Is it going to be as beloved as the first one, or is it going to feel tacked on?
I mean,
I trust in Rockstar.
I need a good single player experience, because that's what I buy into these games for. I GTA Online is fun. I still watch Let's Plays of it and everything like that. And and I'm amazed that when GTA Online came out, I couldn't imagine that it was going to last this long and it was going to grow to this level of absurdity that they've added on and that kind of thing. I mean, and, you know, at one point I was like, the heist, that's the peak. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. They've done the big thing. It's like, nope, well, it was just one thing. We're still adding stuff and
fucking weird ass and stunt, you know, races and all that shit.
Like, the stunt races and just like, oh, there's DeLoreans now and like everything, like the light cycles and all that kind of stuff. And so I read that. I'm like, I don't know how you turn this like cowboy world to some sort of extended universe that is a money making machine. But if anybody could do it, imagine it's Rockstar.
Totally.
And
they can get wacky. Like Undead Nightmare was a perfect example of taking Red Dead and doing something.
We're going to see cowboys and aliens that we're going to see. Yeah, cowboys and aliens.
Great. It's what everybody's asking. Fourth news story of the day. Pichu and Ice Climbers are getting amiibo. Switch will be getting amiibo for Pichu and fan favorite fighters, Ice Climbers. This news comes from Nintendo's official Japanese website, which mentions the production of a Pichu and Ice Climbers amiibo has only a couple of Resurrection Fighter characters getting the amiibo treatment. This suggests that even more of the currently announced fighters of Smash Bros. Ultimate could be receiving amiibo. No images of the amiibo were shown on the official page, though it did reiterate that Inkling, Ridley, and Daisy will receive their own amiibo, which was previously confirmed during E3. I don't think this is too surprising. Sakurai, the director of Smash Bros., was very, very intent on making sure that every Smash Bros. Character got an amiibo, and I would have never believed that all 50-something characters would have got one, but they did. And then the DLC came out. I'm like, yeah, okay, well, Bayonetta and Cloud aren't going to get them, but they did. And so now I'm like, all right, the question is Snake going to get one? That's the only character that there'd be some weird licensing issues that maybe Konami wouldn't want to happen, but he's in the game, so guess what? My money's on it happening.
Talk about moneymakers. Like, these amiibos are just the most gold mine. They literally, they Pokemon'd an actual product for just another game of theirs. They create a gotta catch them all kind of experience. And so, I mean, like, have you seen Michael Jones's like wall of amiibos?
I think he's missing like three total.
I think he's missing less than that at this point. He is almost done. I think the last thing I saw, and it just, they priced them perfectly. They gave incentives perfectly for it, with even uses in other games. You know, like, I remember everyone when Breath of the Wild came out was like tapping their Zelda stuff and everything there. They're gonna do the Ice Climbers, and that's gonna happen. It's gonna happen, yeah, and then so everyone's gonna buy it, and they're gonna make a variant version of it as well. And then
exactly. Well, that's the bigger question for me is like, they already did all the Smash ones. Are they gonna come out with the player two color of the original Smash characters, maybe even a new mold based on their renders in Ultimate? I don't know.
Oh, Ultimate's gonna have like five new Marios guaranteed is what's gonna happen. There's gonna be five new Mario amiibos guaranteed. You can mark the day here. That's what's gonna happen. But yeah, I mean, we're gonna see the Pichu and Ice Climber sounds like exactly like what would be in their plan.
And then the final news story of the day, this is Sean Layden and Mark Cerny had an interview with VentureBeat about the worldwide studios, and had some interesting quotes. Nothing too surprising, but I just it's fun stuff that when the guys at top are kind of swinging their dicks around. quote, I think a lot of reasons Sony Worldwide Studios is special. You may not know that my same studio structure that brings you Gran Turismo is the one that also brings you The Last of Us, Horizon Zero Dawn, and Detroit Become Human, and soon this game called Spider-Man. We have these 13 studios worldwide. One of the things that makes our structure a bit unique, I challenge anyone to argue my claim, is that we're the only studio structure I know that can create AAA content in three regions. We could make it in Japan, in Europe, and in America. I think that gives us a certain energy, a certain power. Certainly, it's a wider viewpoint about the markets and gamers worldwide. That's a benefit to all of the studios. We have probably 2,500 to 3,000 people. We have a lot of external partners that we work with, whether it's Insomniac, again, I'm pushing Spider-Man, or Quantic Dream, or Supermassive. Our breadth is really wide.
Why did you have to say all this?
That's the thing. It's just, again, it's just fucking swing the dick around. But it's just like, reading it.
You just summarize this. We're winning.
We're winning.
Hey, everybody,
we're
winning.
Doing things right. But I think the important thing is, here's why we're winning.
Yeah.
Is, you know, there is a focus on first party games. We are investing in our worldwide studios. And we're making sure that there's not big gaps of time where quality AAA first party games aren't coming out on the console. Something Microsoft is not doing.
Yeah.
And I feel them having the worldwide, having their different sensibilities and making sure that, you know, while Studio Japan is working on Last Guardian for 10 years, that there is other games coming out consistently and that there is weird things. Supermassive making the horror game. Fucking
I'm blanking too.
Oh my God. Those the VR game that they made the roller coaster version of at launch.
The roller, what? I don't even know what you're talking about now.
It's like the teen horror movie.
Oh. What's it called?
I am having such a brain fart, man. Prom was this weekend and
Until Dawn.
Until Dawn. Yes. Oh my God.
That was hurting me.
That was hard.
Things like Until Dawn. Fucking weird, wacky, off the wall, but that's from Sony's first party output, right? I feel like that's why Jean can say this. And then I was thinking about it, I was like, you know, because these are some pretty bold claims talking about them being the only people that can do it. And it's like, I feel like Ubisoft might be the only group that is worldwide. And like, I guess the Japan, they don't have a Japan studio as far as I know. But Japan's also not a territory, so, or a region itself, like Asia. They do have something in Singapore, I want to say.
At Ubisoft, I don't think has the success or as that.
It's different.
It's different.
Definitely different.
Like they are, like they're successful. Ubisoft is successful.
Very successful.
But so it's like, but Sony, they're just knocking it out of the fucking park.
They've had maybe the best 2 years any real devs have ever had.
The pessimist in me goes, this is going to end soon and we'll have a bad PlayStation.
There's a lot of questions about that coming up later.
It's the same thing I have about MCU. Because MCU, like, I keep, like, this is the same thing. Like, with MCU and, like, Kevin Feige have come out and had these same kind of statements. Mm-hmm. Like, especially with, like, DCEU, like, being like, you know, it's like, we don't know why we're not making, you know, the same success. And MCU is like, well, see what we're doing. It's like, this is what the same thing is like. Sony's like, well, what we're doing is we're doing this to 2,500, 3,000 people and we got 13 regions or something like that. And so they're just like, it's nice to be on top.
Yeah. So the thing there is like people for years have been like, oh man, the MCU is going to fall apart. Next time, this next movie's not going to be good. This next Doctor Strange, that ain't going to be good. Ant-Man, that ain't going to be. Here we are.
Spoiler, right. Spider-Man is fantastic. So, played it at E3. It's so good.
So hopefully this shit keeps going for a long time.
It's
going
to keep
time.
Going at least to this fall because it's a good game.
Man, the fall seems so, so far away, John. If I wanted to know what games were coming out today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Cunning Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
Ooh, so you could do that one because you had the whisper. Yeah. I like that. Out today, not much. Spirit Sphere.
Yes.
On. No, Spirit Sphere DX on Switch. Are you a big fan of
this? No.
There's some excitement. And a Nintendo 2DS XL Hylian Shield Edition is out today if you wanted another 2DS for some reason.
I handed my 3DS to my kid now and have her playing Pokemon Red on it.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's like, you need to start here first, and then when Pokemon Let's Go comes out, we'll play that. But you got to start from the beginning.
I love it. All right. Deals of the day. Between June 26th and July 30th, you can play a trial version of EA's new game, Unravel 2, for free on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. The demo comes with the game's first two levels and lets you play for up to 10 hours. Just make sure you remember to close out of the game between play sessions to stop the timer.
I played that at E3.
Yeah, you like it?
It was fun. Especially with playing with a friend. I got to play with Bernie. It was fun.
Awesome. And then Mike from Buffalo writes in and says, hey, KFGD fam, I was scrolling through Best Buy's ad and saw Horizon Zero Dawn on sale for $10. Angry Greg voice. That's less than $10. It was $9.99. and angry Greg voice. It's a great deal, but had me wondering what may be an obvious answer. Do companies like Sony massage prices so they can hit milestones just to tout, look, our first party games are killing it? Frankly, I'm a little annoyed that such a quality game is priced that low. Where's your dignity, Sony? Thoughts? Love what you guys do. Mike from Buffalo. Sony 100% does not do that. Like, that is not a thing that is happening. And that is a Best Buy deal. Best Buy are the ones taking the loss on that.
Also, how old is Horizon Zero Dawn?
2 years at this point. $10 is still really damn low.
It is.
For a game like that.
I got a notification on Steam about, or I went on Steam and there was a, the entire Just Cause series was 85% off. Just Cause 3 was like $3. And I was like, all right, I'll get all Just Cause, the entire Just Cause series.
Uncharted Collection had a sale recently and it was like $7 for the Uncharted Collection. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. But again, they are older games. But yeah, this is just small time stuff. And I feel like it just stirs up excitement to go to Best Buy and to use Best Buy as a service.
Best Buy needs you to help them out because they are fighting a losing battle right now. They can see their air conditioning bills getting higher and higher, and their brick and mortar life is just dying.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Brooklinen. Let me tell you about these sheets. Do you use Brooklinen, John?
I don't use Brooklinen. Tell me about them.
You should. Okay. They are the best sheets I've ever used. I love them. Greg talks about it all the time. You go to the website. It's super easy. You get to choose what colors you want. You can mix and match with the pillowcases, with the sheet, a little oversheet and undersheet. I don't know what the difference in the names of those are, but you know what I mean? I use both of them constantly. I really like mine. I got a...
You so fancy.
Gia got the blue striped sheets, which I really appreciate. She also got the blue striped pillowcase, so our whole bed looks like a cartoon old man in pajamas.
You need to get the pajamas.
I need to blend in some
with
camo.
Yes. With the cap.
Founded in April 2014 by a husband and wife team, Vicky and Rich. Their philosophy is the most beautiful and comfortable home essentials, no crazy prices, no unnecessary markups and fees. Most bedding is marked up by as much as 300%. You don't want that. You don't want that at all. I absolutely love my sheets. I've been having great times in bed with them. They're the most comfortable sheets I've slept on. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for you guys. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. I love that tagline.
Good sheets.
I just love that they're like, yeah, we're just going to own this. Now it's time for reader mail.
Okay.
Marco from Martha writes in and says, I have a burning question for the KFGD crew. With the current gaming environment and the faith that Sony seems to completely disregard, that Sony seems to completely disregard, and Microsoft trying so hard to win the hearts of gamers out there, if there was a new system drop for both Xbox and PlayStation, who would have your cold hard cash? I believe Xbox, even with the lack of first-party games, still has a sharp edge for the next generation.
Why?
So what he's talking about here is that Xbox has really been focusing on services and really quality of life things for gamers out there. Things like the Xbox Game Pass.
Okay.
All first-party games subscription service. Yeah, things like backwards compatibility. Things like not fucking with crossplay and totally supporting it and being cool with all that stuff.
Right.
Do I think that that's really going to translate to out of the gate next time Xbox winning? No. I do think that their showing at E3 this year was very strong and did show a kind of understanding of where their issues were, first party studios. Mm-hmm. And during their conference, them talking about having all the new studios that they bought to be able to have a first party lineup that might not rival Sony Worldwide Studios yet is building towards that.
Right.
That is all pointing to a much brighter future for Xbox. And if we've learned one thing from the past, is that there's usually a shift between generations of where the people lie. And it would have been crazy during the 360 generation to tell people, hey, on PS4, the next gen, you're going to be playing online games mainly on PS4.
Yeah.
And somehow Sony got that mind share from Xbox because they made so many missteps when it came to the launch of the Xbox One and focusing it on more of a center of your living room entertainment system as opposed to we're about the games. This is a video game console.
Yeah, I think that it's just going to come down to, I don't know. The data's there somewhere of what the majority of gamers want, whether they want those kinds of quality of life experiences more. Like, you know, there could be a giant audience of people that Game Pass is exactly what they want. It's exactly what they're looking for. They just want to have that, and it's that's such a like a brighter a draw to them than like a console exclusive game, like, you know, The Last of Us 2 and stuff like that. If I were to make a guess, I would say that people more often buy consoles to play the games that they can't play on other consoles. Yes, it's sugar on top to get to play your old games. Yes, it's super like a little bonus to be able to pay for a subscription service and get a bunch of games that you couldn't afford otherwise. However, the buzz on the internet is always the new game that comes out that everyone's playing and loving and everyone's talking about it, and you want to be part of that crew. It was like when Fortnite was only on as PC, right, first, and mm-hmm. So everyone was crazy about that. And same with like when God of War comes out, everyone's just talking about God of War, and everyone who's not playing God of War is sad they're not playing God of War. That's how I think the gamer environment works.
Well, the big thing about Game Pass though is it's on Xbox to make sure their first party, because they announced that every first party game from Microsoft is day one available on Game Pass going right. forward. That is making sure that not only is the buzz around that, but that everybody has access to it.
Right. It's good intent, but like,
you still need the games to back
up. You
got to
start showing me you got games. Exactly. You got to show me your Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, great. You teased about another Halo game. Like, I'm excited about that. And like, I like
that. You need to knock it out of the park. You need to
have more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, Sony has just been like, no, we don't have one. We don't have three games. We have like a dozen games that are franchises now that people love.
Mm hmm. Jumping into more of this conversation, Adam Walker says, hello, kind of funny crew. Given everything that's happened with Sony's oddly structured E3 conference and the problems with Fortnite, I'm concerned Sony are slipping back into their PS3 era hubris. I've loved the PS4 age for Sony as they've constantly invested in gaming and offering gamers the best service they can for great value. However, I'm starting to feel like they're buying into their own hype and will fall victim to the same overconfidence that Xbox suffered this generation. I don't want Sony to do badly, and for the record, I do want Xbox to learn from their mistakes and do better. Competition is always healthy and promotes better services and products. Are you concerned that we could see a return to the dark times of Sony's PS3 era, defined by overcomplicated, overpriced hardware and a lack of exclusives? I don't think that we'll ever see those problems again.
No.
I think that it's going to be a new series of problems. Yeah. And I think that it's going to be stuff that's like service-based, like what we're talking about. But the fortunate angle to this is it's not like Sony's fucking things up right now.
I think Sony's I think Sony is smart and knows what they need to focus on. And I think they see their numbers and they see what makes them on top, what gets them to sell their consoles. And they see stuff like this whole Fortnite thing and they go, that's not really what we need to focus on.
And I do think that going forward, like they're, I'm sure, already have a plan for the next PlayStation generation. And I'm sure they're looking into, you know what, is it important to make Xbox Game Pass equivalent? Is it important for us to focus on backwards compatibility? And like, I will be utterly shocked if the next PlayStation is not backwards compatible.
Obviously, it's how so much of these tech companies work, especially if they are in a space that has rivals among them. It works with social media, it works with consoles, it works all across the board, where one person does it. If everyone loves it, then their competitors have to do it as well. It's same with like between Netflix and Amazon and Hulu. They all have to make their own content like that. Snapchat comes out and has their way of doing this. Like Instagram's like, I can do it too. It's going to be the way where it's like, if everyone is raving about Xbox, PlayStation goes, well, we can do that too. It's not that much work. I mean, it's cool. You guys announced you did it first, but if people like to play the games that are on there on the PlayStation more, then we can just do it. Let's do our own PlayStation Pass.
Yeah, totally. Like going through here, it's like, all right, the PS3's mistakes were overcomplicated, overpriced hardware. They will never have a disaster like the cell situation they had on PS3. They've made the PS4 easy to develop on, whether you're an indie developer or a huge publisher. And that's why they're allowed to have the output that they do and the quality that they do. They're not going to change that. Overpriced hardware, I feel like they've learned from those mistakes with PS3. And like the PS4 is as competitively priced as it can be, PS4 Pro as well. I'm not too worried about that. And lack of exclusives, I don't think that's ever going to be a problem again. Their worldwide studios are stronger than they've ever been. Video games are making more money than they ever have.
Yeah.
And I feel like that ecosystem is just going to keep pushing itself. I think that Sony's franchises are going to go far into the future. We will see more Horizon, right? Mm-hmm. We will see more Uncharted in the future. It doesn't need to come back right now. And mm-hmm. There's going to be a bunch of new IP. Sony understands what it needs to do and it knows it has the games, and that's why they're winning. They're not going to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
Going back, where should we go here? Brittany T says, reading Sony's latest response in the crossplay kerfluffle making its way around the interwebs has led me to thinking about what type of solution they're considering that will be accepted by their fans and also good for their business. Do you think there's a possibility that they could offer a new tier of PS Plus that offers it so that they're still getting something in exchange for the crossplay functionality? If so, how well do you think it'll go over with gamers? I'm sure that they're considering something like that as an option. That would be a huge mistake for them to offer a paid solution for them to be able to do crossplay with other people.
Ooh, yeah. That's going into like, you know, the loot crate world of
yep.
pay to do something. Nah, they won't do that. They are a company that I think has shown that they learn from mistakes and have a pretty good pulse on the gamer mm-hmm. themselves, and their responses to stuff is not they're a steady beating drum
yep.
right now, and they're not going to do something like that.
I like I said earlier, I do think they're going to fix this problem somehow, and I think the solution is going to be looking at crossplay as a whole and trying to come up with a philosophy going forward
yeah.
of, hey, not every game is going to be crossplay
yeah.
compatible, but we understand that certain games make more sense for us even business-wise, or might just make sense where even if we're not going to directly make more money than we would have, we understand that just gamer culture-wise, it's a smart call for us to
yeah.
be on the right side of history when it comes to this conversation.
But they can take their time.
Yep.
They are allowed to. They get to. That's how it works for them.
Zaire says, hey, Tim and co-host, put on your tinfoil hats because I have a theory. What if Nintendo is working with Microsoft for Switch Online for exchange of having crossplay between Xbox and Switch? This may be the reason why the Switch Online was delayed to almost a year. What if putting Rare's games on an N64 Classic and their characters in Smash was also part of the agreement? It's a little out there, but hey, weird things happen. I can guarantee that Microsoft and Nintendo are working together
okay.
in some capacity
okay.
when it comes to the Switch and the Xbox and the characters and all. We've seen it already, of course, with things like Minecraft. I do think that there is a chance that Microsoft characters, especially Rare characters, might appear in Smash Brothers in some form. It's not a guarantee, but there's definitely a chance. They've been buddy-buddy, and I can see if there's an N64 Classic, I do see them maybe potentially figuring out the licensing for at least Perfect Dark and Banjo-Kazooie in that.
Who owns Diddy Kong Racing?
Rare.
Then we need to fix that relationship.
Well, it's like it gets weird because Nintendo owns the characters,
yeah,
but the rights of the game. But Nintendo can release that though.
Can they?
They're fine with that. Yeah,
they have because they're
allowed to. There's certain. It gets really weird with things like GoldenEye because
yeah.
the James Bond license isn't owned by either Nintendo or Rare.
I just want Diddy Kong Racing.
Yeah, I don't want to misspeak, but I'm pretty sure that like that would be on the N64 Classic if there was one. But in terms of Microsoft working with Switch on their online, there's not a chance in hell. Like, that's not happening. Like, I'm sorry, but Nintendo Switch's online service is going to be exactly what you think it's going to be, which is passable.
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good. They're just, I don't think Nintendo knows that good internet exists anywhere, or that good like online experiences exist anywhere, or like multiplayer is something that everyone else has figured out and that kind of thing. And that's just Nintendo. Just Nintendo.
They're going to do their thing. And I also, like, business deals don't work in this direct of a way of like a bartering system of,
no.
I'm going to do this for you and you do this for us. Every single decision is, how does this decision benefit both of us at
yeah.
the same time?
Yeah.
Or nah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Alex says, hey there, Tim and John. I've been following the Smash Ultimate blog, and I noticed last week one of the updates was a music track from Snipper Clips. Should we be reading into this? Think we'll get Snipper Clips level, perhaps? There would be a lot of potential there with constantly changing paper backgrounds and maybe some deadly scissor hazards. While I'm not expecting a ton of new third-party characters this time, I think assist trophies, levels, and music would be an awesome way to still get some of that stuff in there at launch. Yeah, that was a really cool surprise. I feel like that's the most surprising announcement made on the Smash Bros. Blog so far, because everything else has been kind of like info we knew
yeah.
already. I think the coolest thing about this is Snipper Clips is a game made by two dudes, and
yeah.
a year ago was not a factor. It comes out, is a hit, and now it's featured in the new Smash Brothers game.
That's got to be like, fun for them.
That's got to be awesome. What's up, Kev?
So good.
Kevin loves Snipper Clips,
man. I do think that this shows that Smash is kind of going a little bit broader in terms of
yeah.
getting some different franchises in there. And I don't think this necessarily means we'll get a Snipper Clip stage. I especially say that because it didn't. Usually, if games get their own stage in Smash. They have their own emblem for their franchise. Snipperclips didn't. It just had the generic Smash thing. So I think that the music might just be a... We might see it on, like, the Wii Fit level or something, just have that music as an option. But I don't think we'll see a Snipperclips stage.
I like that that's how deep people will go into the Smash world to be like, okay, one of the updates had a music track from Snipperclips.
I'm a fucking nerd, dude.
That's pretty awesome.
I love Smash. Let's see. I'm going to do one more.
Do it.
More Rockstar stuff.
Okay.
Michael Iron says, what's good, KFGD crew? I just have a quick question for you about Rockstar.
What was that?
The fuck was that?
That's best friends having fun.
Good lord.
Go home!
Bunch of prom people outside fucking chanting shit.
Go home.
Do you think that we'll ever get another game out of Rockstar that isn't GTA or Red Dead? Or are they in a Valve situation where they don't need to make other games? The last game Rockstar put out that wasn't Red Dead or GTA was Max Payne 3 back in 2012. Before that, it was L.A. Noire in 2011. Midnight Club L.A. was 2008, and Bully and Table Tennis were 2006. I don't know about you guys, but I could really go for another Max Payne game. Also, do you think we'll ever get a new IP from them? I cannot even imagine what that would look like.
We need to get the sequel to the ping pong game.
Table tennis,
yeah,
2018, 2019.
Yeah,
I honestly don't know that we'll ever see another Rockstar game that's not GTA or Red Dead.
They've doubled down so much on making these giant games. I mean, GTA was just enormous and came with its own problems because of how big it was. I mean, GTA's had its bugs and everything all along the way. And Red Dead is proving to be just as big of a game, and the development has taken as long as it has and everything like that. So I don't even know if they have the bandwidth to do that again with something else right now. I mean, if they did something smaller, they can maybe pull it up, but I don't think they need to. I mean, we're all just crazy about Red Dead. And then, yeah, the minute they can pull a Bethesda and show just a graphic of GTA, you know, 6, mm-hmm. and people will, you know, will cream themselves over that. I mean, totally. That's how it's going
to
work.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the counterpoint to my argument would be they did put a lot of attention on the Switch currently, and like getting L.A. Noire ported over there, like that's kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
So it's like they are thinking about games that aren't GTA or Red Dead, even if they are older games. But I don't know if that's testing the waters to see the interest level in the remastered version they just put out or what. But I don't expect to see those like smaller, quote unquote, Rockstar games coming out anytime
soon. They need to
go
to space.
And a new IP, I don't know. I don't know that it's worth the gamble when there's such a sure thing that they have, right? Two sure things.
Rockstar MMORPG coming out in 3 years as a rival to World of Warcraft. That's what's going to happen.
Now it's time to squad up. As I'm currently homeless and unable to play video games, Kind of Funny Games Daily is where I get my fix. I know this is odd to ask, and as you had an odd squad up that wasn't about playing video games recently, I understand why this one might not be talked about. I just want to say that when I get a chance to play, squatting up with people and forgetting life's problems is what gets me through the tough times. So I ask everyone, even the single-player gamers or the solo
queuers.
Don't know what that means. Could squad up with some friends or even some randoms to play some sweet, sweet video games. You never know who needs times like these to have fun. P.S. If anyone wants to add me on Xbox so we can squad up at a later date, my gamer tag is Copiondor. And on PlayStation, it's Copiondor93. That's C-O-P-I-O-N-D-O-R. And then C-O-P-I-O-N-D-O-R 93 on PSN. It's always nice to meet new gamers. Happy owning, Josh.
Pony.
Solo queuers? Oh, is that Cures. Someone who's waiting to play by themselves?
Have you seen Overwatch's new looking for group system?
Mm-mm.
It's genius.
What
it's
is it?
So good. It, like, you know, obviously right before this, if you were in Overwatch and you wanted to play comp or even quick play, you're by yourself, you just solo queue up and you just play with whoever you get.
Mm.
And that was part of the frustration of a game like Overwatch, because it's all about a team build and everything like that, especially with comp play. You know, you want your SR level to get up, and when you get sent into a group of like everyone plays DPS and no one wants to play tank, it's like, well, cool, we're screwed. Now they have this whole like looking for group system, very much like how Blizzard does their stuff, where well, it is Blizzard, that's stupid, where you can put in like what roles you play, what kind of group you're looking for, what
oh fuck, that's awesome.
Like, you can even put in things like, are you looking for a group that or you can even like put the
ASL for Overwatch.
It you can put like everyone has to have mics. You can put that we're going to be playing comp and that kind of thing, and or we're it's amazing. It's so good.
That's
so
great.
Good
on them, man. Good on them. Now it's time for You're Wrong. Let's see what we got wrong during the show. Not too much. You were correct, Zach says. No release window has been given for Ghost of Tsushima.
I feel so good. I feel so vindicated.
The KFGD guy says the only Beyond Good and Evil 2 date Ubisoft mentioned was they're hoping to release a beta by end of 2019. We'll see about
hoping
that.
To release an unfinished version of the game sometime in the next year and a half.
Top Boog says Michael Jones confirmed on Twitter about 2 weeks ago that he completed his amiibo collection with the Japanese exclusive box character. He also mentioned that he pre-ordered every upcoming one. What a monster, that boy.
There's something wrong with him.
Ignacio Rojas says the Impatient is the name of the PSVR game set in the Until Dawn continuity. That's not what I was talking about. I was talking about the Rondo of Blood. Or no, Rush of Blood. The launch game.
Rondo of Blood.
Rondo of Blood's a Castlevania game.
We got everything else right?
Lord of Pwn says Ubisoft Singapore is developing Skull and Bones. ZeniMax owns Bethesda and Tango Gameworks, who made The Evil Within, and they're located in Tokyo.
Okay, it's Skull and Bones E3.
Ignacio Rojas says Horizon Zero Dawn came out February 28, 2017. It hasn't been 2 years. Good Lord, that's right. That was just a year ago.
September?
February.
February? Jeez, feels like forever.
Man, there's been so many amazing games since then. That's fucking nuts.
They're good. Sony's good. They're set.
Lord of Pwn says, additional info, Diddy Kong Racing DS was developed by Rare in 2007 after Microsoft bought them. Nintendo owns the IP, but the game did feature characters owned by Rare, so it may be a little bit of a fuzzy area. Yeah, that shit gets fucking weird.
It's such a good game.
I was never a big Diddy Kong guy.
I loved it. You could be a hovercraft. You could be an airplane. It was great.
Oh, man. Maybe one day, John. Maybe one day. Thank you very much for joining us. This has been a fun one. Tomorrow's host, it's me and the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee. But until then, I love you.
Me too.
And now we shake hands.